This morning as we start, I want you to think about all you know about the city of Bethlehem. And we're going to start with that topic, and I'm going to get you to share with me all that you know about Bethlehem. It's called David's Royal City. Why is that? Why would it be David's Royal City? That's where he was born. David was also born in Bethlehem. And because David was a king, it became a royal city. Okay, what else do we know about Bethlehem? Did you know it's mentioned 52 times in the Bible? 52 times. Most of those in the Old Testament. Bethlehem was a small town. And when they would muster the troops, they would talk about the troops that came from Bethlehem. How many of you have ever read any of the, and I'm blank on the name of the title, maybe my wife will be able to remember me, remind me. We were reading it two years ago. I was reading it when we went to, The Mighty Men, the 30 Mighty Men, and the battles, the King David's battles. It was something about King David. Anyway, there are books out there that take that time that David was king, and they, if you read about the battles, he had 30 men that were considered the valiant warriors. They were called the Mighty Men. One of those 30 came from the town of Bethlehem. So now you can go back and look for that in the Old Testament. But that was part of the thing. Bethlehem, even though it was such a small town, you know, Jerusalem, other places were much larger. Any of the towns that were on the trade routes were the large towns. Nazareth was also a small town. So these are things, but as we looked at the Old Testament prophecy, Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And that's out of Micah 5:2. It was prophesying the fact that there would be this Messiah that would come. It goes ahead and talks about he will bring peace to the people of Israel. I want you to think about Jesus as he came. It's interesting because some of the contrast, Jesus even said, "Well, I didn't come to bring you peace," talking about the physical realm. But then he also said, "But my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." He was talking about the two different kinds. Peace has several meanings. One is the absence of war, and that's immediately what we think about. So when the prophecy said he wouldn't bring peace, and Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring you peace," it was the fact that wars weren't going to end. If you know, after Jesus, we have still the battles going on between the Jews and the Romans. We have the uprisings. And in 70 AD, the Romans have had enough of all these uprisings, and they come in and they destroy kill all those that were fighting. That is, during that battle, though, is where we find that the Hanukkah comes out of, okay? So those of you who wonder about Hanukkah, it came out of that time when, right before 70 AD, when the battles were going on, and finally the Romans just put it all down. They made their last stand at Megiddo, and if you remember the story, the people all killed themselves before the Romans came in. Masada, yeah, you're right. Megiddo is the valley of Megiddo where the last battle will be. But thank you, Masada. I knew it started with an M. Keep me straight. All right, so little town is what this candle represents. But now I want you to begin to think about the people that God chose to use in the Bible. Okay? Let's start with King David, since we've been talking about King David. King David, you remember God told his prophet Samuel, you're going to go and anoint the new king. Saul was being rejected by God. And he said, you are to go and anoint the new king. So Samuel came to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. And he said, one of your sons is to be anointed king. Do you remember the progression? The first son, Samuel immediately said, aha, this has got to be the one. He's strong, he's handsome, he's big, everyone will respect him. And God said, no, I don't look at the outward appearances. I look to the heart. So he kept going down, son after son after son, and God kept saying, no, no, no. All of the sons are paraded before him, and Samuel says, do you not have any other sons? He says, well, my youngest, he's out with the sheep. And David is brought in, and then David is anointed. David is known as the great king. The great king came from a small town. When we look at David, what do we see? We see someone who believed in God's power. You know, the Bible tells us David was a man after God's own heart. Think of the mighty things that David did. He's the one who established the kingdom of Israel, took away all of the lands from the different tribes that were coexisting against them, and really established the kingdom that he then handed over to his son. And you know all of that progression and trouble with that. Let's think again about another one of the people that we think of as one of the great leaders of Israel. Let's go back to when Israel became a nation, not when he became a nation, but when it was set free. Okay, we're talking about Moses. Let's think about Moses for a moment. Moses actually was reared as a royal. Taken out of the bulrushes and raised as a royal. But then Moses gets angry because he realizes that his people are slaves. He gets angry when he sees his people being mistreated. He kills one of the guards. And what does he do? He runs. Now, some of us are thinking that God has taken a long time to get us where we're at today. But I want you to think about Moses for a moment. Moses is 40 years old. He goes out into the desert. He lives there for 40 years. And God tells him to come back. Moses is 80 years before God is ready to use him. After 80 years of God trying to work on Moses and get him ready, when he says, this is your mission in life, Moses. Moses says, I can't talk. I've never been eloquent. I can't go in before the king, the Pharaoh. And God has been working on this guy for 80 years. So the next time that you're feeling like, how come I haven't made further progress? Just remember, Moses took his time. Did God give up on him?
No.
No, he didn't. He says, okay, you may not be an eloquent speaker, but you've got a brother that's got a good fiery tongue. I'm paraphrasing, yes. Pastor Robert's paraphrase. But he will be the one to speak for you. But God continued to reveal to Moses what was to be happening and what he was to do. I want you to think about this staff and think about, see, I can relate to this one. Moses is given this staff and God says, I'm going to show you my power. And he says, throw the staff down. He threw the staff down and what happened? Staff turned into a snake. Moses was afraid and picked it up by the tail. I'm telling you right now, I think I would have been out of there. But Moses did obey. I hope I would obey too. But I don't know. Snakes are not my thing. Even little tiny baby ones. And I can still remember Darwin and Becky's son Micah. They had these little tiny snakes in their backyard. And he would pick them up and put them in his pocket and carry them around. It just creeped me out. But I couldn't let him know that. Or else he'd have been bringing those snakes to me. Anyway, I just want us to realize that many times it's the people that we don't think would be the ones that we wouldn't pick that God says, you're the one. I've got a purpose for you. And I believe that God has got a purpose for each and every one of this morning. I want to talk about one other person, Gideon. Gideon. When the angel comes to him, what does Gideon say? I'm from the small town. I'm the least of the people. There's got to be someone better than me, because the angel said, you're going to deliver your people. And Gideon just can't believe it. Just read these stories and look at all the times that the people just said, I can't do this. Why do you think that in our scripture we find the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because, guys, we couldn't do it. Moses couldn't have done it. Aaron couldn't have done it. Gideon couldn't have done it. None of them. David couldn't have done it, except that the Lord God was with them. And he raised up people to be with them. And he did miracles. Think about Gideon, the one we all know, and I love the story still, is when he had them down at the brook and he sees to see how they're drinking out of the water. Whether they're cupping it and going like this, or getting down and lapping it like a dog. And he says, choose only the ones that were lapping, right? Lapping like a dog. Yes, that's the way to choose an army. It was for Gideon. God said so. And what did they do? Then God says, take pitchers and torches, and we're going to fight the battle that way. You know, it's amazing what God can do when we just do these simple things that we think, how on earth? I just can't imagine that people who were warriors would think, okay, I'm going to take a pitcher and a torch and we're going to win a battle. But God causes confusion. They thought the enemy was upon them. God worked a miracle. This morning, as we think about Bethlehem being small, as we think about ourselves, and most of us think, who am I? I'm no one. I want you to stop thinking that way, because that's not what God thinks about you. God says you are His child. He says you have become royalty. You are a part of my kingdom. Stop thinking about, I can't do this. You know, this is something that is very hard for me. I am one who can look at things and think, how on earth am I going to do that? I just want to share with you a little bit about, just in the last 2 weeks, one of the things that was just so overwhelming for me. My wife talked me into getting new carpet. We didn't have any dogs now, and that's what I'd always said. We can't get new carpet until we have no dogs. So, we have no dogs. Guess what? She's saying, Robert, remember that promise? We can get new carpet now. Well, we went to the store to see how much it was going to cost. Well, all that we could afford was to get the carpet and the pad, which meant we had to tear out the old carpet. We had to get up the old pad. We had to move our fireplace in the living room, take it apart. Every piece of furniture, and those of you who know us, we tend to stuff a lot of stuff and have a lot of junk. And it's caused us to get rid of a bunch of stuff. But anyway, we're moving everything out, and I'm thinking, why would I have ever promised my wife this? Well, the next thing was, we thought we had till after Thanksgiving. So I hadn't really been pushing to get all the stuff out. So they called us the week before Thanksgiving, said, your carpet's in, can we come tomorrow? I'm looking around and saying, you know, Lana's got the phone. She says, no. So they said, well, what about Monday? So that gave us the weekend. Well, this is also the weekend that Jamie and Marissa had decided to go over sightseeing in Wheeling. This is also the week that Christopher and Veronica were up in Wisconsin visiting. And they're the ones that we usually turn to. And I'm going, okay, we can do this, we can do this. But you know what? It was overwhelming to begin with, but I had to stop and take piece by piece. Now, Marissa and Jamie came before they left to help. They ripped out carpet. They vacuumed. Some of the padding was stuck down where the dogs had peed and vomited and all of that stuff. And stuck down, and we're having to scrape the padding off of the wood floor. If you have dogs, they know this. How many of you have had dogs in your house? Okay? They know this. Okay? Anyway, then we finally get it up, and it's Sunday, and I call up Mark, and I say, Mark, I've got this, this, and this yet to do. Christopher's out of town. Jamie and Marissa out of town. I need someone who can help me lift. Mark says he'll be there. So he came, and he became carpenter because we had a hole in the floor under the carpet. The only thing keeping you from going through was the carpet. And so he became carpenter, and he was just a godsend. And we thank the Lord for him. Anyway, I'm just telling you, I was overwhelmed. And the only way I could face it was to say, I can do all things. And I would just take one thing at a time. And I in my head, I sectioned it all off. And that's how we did it. That's the only way I could face it. Because if I was looking at all of it, I think I might have called him back up and said, can you wait a week or two? But the Lord says, you can do it. We got it done. You need to see it. It changed the whole look of our house. And it decluttered a lot. Now, are we done decluttering? No. Anyway, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, even decluttering. Now, Marissa told us to stop decluttering because she doesn't want any more. anyway, I just want us today to think about the fact that God showed his power over and over, taking individuals who were just plain people and turning them into his mighty servants with his power. You and I are no different. When God says to do something that you think you can't do, just remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that little baby Jesus, born in a stable, laid in a manger, was born to be king. King of our hearts and King of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Be with us as we go out. In Jesus' name, amen.